Welcome back, friends. Hey, this is Mike Adams, the Health Ranger, here with NewTarget.com. And today we have a really interesting topic to go over, one that'll blow your mind. New research published in the Archives of Internal Medicine establishes a link, a correlation, between depression and osteoporosis. That's right, they studied, actually it was fewer than 100 women in this particular research, and they found, gee, the ones who suffered from depression had the lowest bone density. Now from this research, get this, here's the crazy part. From this, the mainstream media has leaped to the conclusion that depression causes osteoporosis. That's right, they went from a correlation to a causation. It's a simple logic error. It's one that a fifth grader could recognize. But the mainstream media does this all the time. They take two diseases that are correlated, and they say that one causes the other. You see this all the time. But what's the truth about these two diseases? The truth is they have the same common cause. That's right, the same underlying common cause. And in this case, it's obvious. Anyone schooled in nutrition or natural medicine could spot this in an instant. What's the same common cause behind depression and osteoporosis? I'll give you a hint. It's the same thing that also causes much higher rates of breast cancer and prostate cancer. It is, of course, chronic vitamin D deficiency. That's right, if you don't have vitamin D in your body, you're going to feel depressed, and you'll probably have osteoporosis. Why? Well, first, vitamin D reverses depression. Actually, getting sunlight makes your brain feel better because it generates vitamin D, and for many other reasons, but vitamin D is one of the main reasons. And secondly, if you don't have vitamin D in your body, you cannot absorb and assimilate calcium, meaning your bones won't grow well. I mean, they won't maintain high bone mineral density unless you have sufficient quantities of vitamin D circulating in your body. So you got to have both. You got to have vitamin D and calcium if you want to have healthy bones. Now, I'm sure that if they did this research a little more and they studied the breast cancer risk of these same women, they would have found, gee, there's a link between osteoporosis and depression and breast cancer. Well, I wonder why. It's because they're all deficient in vitamin D. That's why they have these conditions. Now, there are many other factors, of course, behind osteoporosis. There are hormonal changes. There's a lack of physical exercise. There are other nutritional elements such as calcium and magnesium and even trace minerals and so on. But the main factor here, the one that is obviously common to both of these conditions, is chronic vitamin D deficiency. Now, vitamin D deficiency is very common in Western populations. It's extremely common with Canadians and our friends who live in the UK because of the northern latitudes of those geographic regions. It's also common in northern states in the United States and those areas that have a lot of rainfall or cloud cover, such as Seattle. That's why you get so much depression in Seattle. It's not a coincidence. And that's why Starbucks was so popular in the Pacific Northwest, because people were depressed and they needed a little kick, and so they jumped onto caffeine. And then coffee became a cultural hero and spread all over the country and now all around the world as a hip, cool drink to get you going in the morning. Well, the truth is they had sunlight deficiency in Seattle. That's what was really going on. They needed more sunlight. And then they wouldn't have suffered from those rates of depression. Now, in southern U.S. states like Texas and Arizona and New Mexico, you have very low rates of breast cancer. And guess what? You have lower rates of osteoporosis. I wonder why. Could it be because there's more sunlight there? Has this thought ever crossed the minds of medical researchers? Now, just to give you an idea of how idiotic these medical researchers are and just how idiotic the mainstream media is on the way it reported on this research, check this out. All right? The media jumped to the conclusion, again, that depression causes osteoporosis. Now, you might be able to excuse that leap of bad logic in a journalist, because journalists aren't necessarily trained in logic. They're trained how to write. And if you've actually read anything in mainstream newspapers or magazines, you already know that many journalists are not too bright. they don't really ask any skeptical questions. They just kind of reprint those press releases, put in their own words. They repeat all the common medical myths like, oh, sunlight will kill you, or, oh, vaccinations are great for everyone, that there's no link between vaccines and autism and so on. Or that, oh, yeah, everybody should be fluoridated. Or that putting mercury into your mouth is a great idea because dentists say so. These are just common medical myths that are propagated by mainstream media journalists who don't know how to think. They've never been trained how to think. They've been trained how to write, not how to think. So you might excuse that in a mainstream media journalist. But here's the hilarious part. The researchers behind this study, listen to what they said. And this was reported in U.S. News and World Report, by the way, that the researchers said, since depression is correlated with osteoporosis, that taking antidepressants might reverse osteoporosis. All right, did you hear that? Do you get what an incredibly idiotic leap of bad logic that is? They're saying, once again, that since depression is linked to osteoporosis, if you take antidepressant drugs, that may actually be a treatment for osteoporosis. Wow! What? Oh, junk science has reached a new low. That's incredible. And it's even more incredible because guess what? The women used in this particular study, the women that had the low bone mineral density that were being diagnosed with osteoporosis, guess what? They were already on antidepressant drugs. It's true. You can check out the study yourself in Archives of Internal Medicine. Check it out. It shows that these women were diagnosed with both depression and osteoporosis, and they were already taking antidepressant drugs. So how does a researcher, a medical researcher, come to the conclusion that even though the very women suffering from low bone density are already on antidepressants, that they could actually possibly reverse osteoporosis by taking more antidepressants? Is that, that's like saying, oh, Joe is drunk because he's had too much alcohol. Let's give him more alcohol and see if that can reverse his drunkenness. It's idiotic. But it gives you a little clue of how conventional medicine works today. And I'm going to give you an example, a metaphor here of how they operate. And I think you're going to find this quite entertaining. I call it the flat tire diagnosis. Now, let's say you're driving down the interstate and suddenly your car has a blowout. Now, you're going to get certain symptoms when your car has a blowout, right? You're going to notice some things. Let's say your car pulls to the right. Suddenly it's really pulling hard to the right. There's a strange flapping sound coming from underneath the car. Your car suffers a sudden reduction in fuel efficiency, and your ride suddenly becomes bumpier. Okay? These are four different symptoms resulting from the blowout. Now, if you went to a conventional medical doctor or researcher with these four symptoms, the first thing they would do is give them names. The fact that your car is pulling to the right, that might be called Wright's disease. The fact that this strange sound coming from underneath your car might be called flapping disease. The reduction in fuel efficiency that you're noticing might be called hypofuelanemia. And the fact that your ride is bumpier now could be called comfort deficiency syndrome, or CDS, because that's a deficiency in the ride. All right, now that these conditions have names, they can start to talk about them as entities that exist on their own. Like CDS is something that exists on its own. Like it's an entity. And they can start talking about, well, gee, there seems to be a correlation between CDS, that's comfort deficiency syndrome, and Wright's disease. That they've noticed on their research, they've researched hundreds of such situations, and they've found that there's a very strong correlation between CDS and Wright's disease. Isn't that curious? Now, they're ignoring the fact that the tire blew out. Why? Because that's called prevention. If you fix the tire, then you prevent all these other diseases, and the customer drives away, and you never see them again, and you never earn anything from them again, and you can't get them to take drugs for life. So they never really talk about the tire being blown out. Instead, they're going to focus on the symptoms, and they're going to focus on their treatments for these symptoms and find out, well, what can we do to make these symptoms appear more real in the minds of the consumers? So the first thing, again, is naming them, just like they name restless leg syndrome and attention deficit hyperactivity disorder and all these other conditions, social anxiety disorder. See, the name is very important. Bipolar disorder, got to have the name. That way people think it's real. And then they start making these correlations. So from this car, they could actually come to the conclusion that comfort deficiency syndrome causes Wright's disease. That's right. It causes it. The fact that your ride is bumpy is the cause of why the car is pulling to the right. And why would they say that's a cause? Because they're so strongly correlated, and it keeps showing up in the science. This is hard science. This is the gold standard of scientific evidence. This is evidence-based medicine, and it's FDA approved. They could actually produce all the science you want. See, every time that there's CDS, there's also Wright's disease. Every time. They could prove it. And then the mainstream media would report it. They would say, oh, wow, comfort deficiency syndrome has now been found to be a cause of Wright's disease. And then they would start prescribing treatments for it. So how would you treat comfort deficiency syndrome? You would prescribe a pillow. Put a pillow under your butt. Suddenly, the symptoms of comfort deficiency syndrome are no longer present. Thus, the pillow, which would be manufactured by probably a pillow pharmaceutical company. It's like it's a specially treated chemical pillow. And they say this pillow is now the FDA-accepted treatment for comfort deficiency syndrome. And now, then here's the best part. Then these researchers, the same ones that drew this conclusion about the link between depression and osteoporosis, here's what they would say about comfort deficiency syndrome, Wright's disease, and the pillow. They would say that since comfort deficiency syndrome and Wright's disease are correlated, that treating the CDS with the pillow might in fact reverse Wright's disease. Yes. I know it sounds like complete nonsense, okay? I know this is just, you think I'm making this up. I'm not making this up. This is how they think. This is exactly the logic that they are following with their ridiculous medical research, published in a peer-reviewed medical journal, by the way, that the mainstream press just bought hook, line, and sinker. This is the same logic they're going through. They're saying, put a pillow under your butt, and your car won't pull to the right anymore. Pretty crazy, huh? Doesn't make any sense. Not to anyone who has, you know, thinking skills. I wonder sometimes, how did these medical researchers get out of high school? How did they pass, you know, math class? Maybe they didn't graduate. Maybe they were recruited because they won't, you know, mess up the research by actually applying real logic. Maybe they're high school dropouts. You know, just academic underachievers, and there's nothing wrong with being an academic underachiever. I'm not being judgmental about that. It's just that there is something wrong with being an academic underachiever and then being put in charge of medical research. That's the problem. Those people should be out there, you know, working on cars and fixing flat tires, maybe, instead of running medical research that gets published in a peer-reviewed medical journal and gets headlined in U.S. News and World Report. But think about this. The blown-out tire in the car metaphor is, of course, the vitamin D deficiency in human beings. And just as in that metaphor, everyone ignores the blown-out tire In modern medicine today, everyone ignores vitamin D deficiency. It's not even on their radar. They don't even consider it as, you know, a cause of disease. It's just not in their model to think about a deficiency of a nutrient as being important for preventing disease or reversing disease or achieving any kind of optimum human health. It's just not in their world, their little mental construct that they got from medical school. Not part of it. So they don't really consider those things, you see. But what happens when that deficiency is, in fact, the underlying cause of all of those health conditions? What happens? Well, what happens is then the public gets bad information, and people remain nutritionally ignorant, and more scientific medical myths get propagated. And that's what's going on today. Think about the actual effect of this news on the consumer. Think about this. All right, a woman picks up the newspaper. She's suffering from osteoporosis. She reads this headline. She says, wow, is this really true? Depression and osteoporosis are linked. And these medical researchers are saying that since depression and osteoporosis are linked, and since antidepressant drugs treat the symptoms of depression, therefore, if I take antidepressant drugs, I might actually reverse my osteoporosis. This is what the woman is thinking, the consumer. Now, how does she get to that point? Without asking some skeptical questions? I don't know. How did the press report this story without asking some skeptical questions? I don't know. Blows my mind. Maybe they're all on drugs too. But nevertheless, this is what the end consumer concludes. She says to herself, gee, I better go to my doctor and ask for some antidepressant drugs to treat my osteoporosis. And you know what? That is precisely the belief and the action that Big Pharma wants that woman to take. And that is why this story appears in the mainstream media. That's why. Because those same magazines and those same newspapers reporting this story, guess what? They are chock full of ads from pharmaceutical companies. That's who pays their salary, pays the rent at those places, Big Pharma. And what a coincidence that this story happens to promote a behavior that would result in more consumers purchasing more pharmaceuticals, even when there's absolutely no scientific link. There's no credible explanation of how these drugs could actually reverse osteoporosis. In fact, the opposite is true. Again, the women in the study who were suffering from osteoporosis were on antidepressants. That's the only reasonable, logical conclusion would be to say there's a correlation between taking antidepressant drugs and having bone loss. That's the reasonable, logical conclusion. Yet, see, through this junk science, they have turned that around 180 degrees. And they've been able to report exactly the opposite and hopefully, on their part, motivate women to go out and buy more drugs. Now, I have an interesting correlation to mention to you. Here's one that's actually worth investigating. Here's a correlation. There's a correlation between mainstream media publishers who take advertising money from drug companies and the frequency of appearance of stories that promote the consumption of pharmaceuticals. Wow, there's an interesting correlation that we should look at. And you know, there's really only one peer-reviewed medical journal that's even bothering to look at that. And that's the open source journal, the PLOS Medicine. That's the Public Library of Science Medicine. Now, this is a medical journal that dares to tell the truth. It's no friend of Big Pharma. It's an open source medical journal, meaning you can go read the articles online right now. Just go to Google and search for PLOS, that's S as in Sam, Medicine, and check it out. That's a medical journal that takes no advertising money from Big Pharma. And thus, what do you know? They tend to publish stories that are critical of Big Pharma, and they actually have good science. PLOS Medicine has much better science than Journal of the American Medical Association, for example, or the Archives of Internal Medicine, or any of these other so-called peer-reviewed medical journals that are, in fact, on the take from Big Pharma. And the Journal of the American Medical Association has a real interesting history. I mean, this was the publication that was taking money from cigarette companies. They used to run full-page ads promoting cigarettes. They had ads that said things like, more doctors smoke Camels than any other cigarette. Yeah, this was several decades ago, but that's the history of JAMA and the history of the American Medical Association on the take from Big Tobacco for many, many years. Finally, at some point, they realized they couldn't get away with it any longer, that, you know, the link between smoking cigarettes and having heart disease or lung cancer was just too high, and they had to stop taking money from Big Tobacco. But you can read the real history about the AMA at newstarget.com. Just check out that. Search for that. The real history of the American Medical Association. Now, let's talk for a minute about what I call medical stupidity. Sometimes I call these researchers complete idiots. And I've actually taken a little bit of heat for that. So I want to explain myself. People sometimes say, Mike, why do you call these people such idiots all the time? It makes you sound arrogant. And I got to say, look, I am not the smartest guy in the room. I am not some intellectual genius. All right? I just happen to have a healthy brain because I feed it good foods and I don't pollute it with pharmaceuticals and food additive chemicals and other things. I just have a normal, healthy, functioning brain. Now, here's the thing. These gaps in logic that I'm talking about right now, that this bad reporting and this junk science, this doesn't take a genius to figure out. This is, you know, high school logic, man. I mean, I know 7th and 8th graders who could see right through this. So when I call these researchers complete idiots, I'm not engaging in a name-calling exercise. I'm actually describing their cognitive function. This is an accurate description of their lack of mental capacity. This is not an insult. I don't mean it as an insult. It may sound like an insult. I'm actually trying to describe their mental capacity. Maybe I could say, well, they have an intelligence quotient below 80. Especially when it comes to medical research. Or maybe they're just corrupt. You know, maybe they really do understand this stuff, but they're just corrupt, which means that they're either liars or they're idiots. There's no way around it. How could they leap to these incredible conclusions and report them to the mainstream media? So all I'm trying to do is point out how ludicrous some of these leaps in logic really are. I mean, isn't this obvious to you too? I mean, all of us, actually, who follow a natural health lifestyle, who feed our brains healthy food, we can all see this. All of us can. We can all see what incredible idiots the medical researchers are in this case to make a statement like, oh, taking more antidepressant drugs might treat your osteoporosis. It's an idiot statement. There's no other way to describe it. And we can all see this, those of us who have healthy brains, just healthy, normal, functioning brains. Now, at some point, you got to ask the question, shouldn't the people involved in medical research be smarter than us? Shouldn't they be the geniuses? I mean, come on, you take the smartest people out of the school that you went to, you know, when you went to high school or college. Think about the smartest people you knew. Shouldn't those people have become the medical researchers, and shouldn't they have become the journalists? Shouldn't the smartest people be running all this tough science? I mean, that's what I think. Yeah, but the smart people in charge of medicine. But no, we got the idiots instead. I don't know how. We got the people who failed logic 101. They think a correlation equals a causation. Or they suffer from such myopic dogma that they can't really see anything outside their own version of what's real, which has been hammered into their heads by medical school training, which is based on numerous falsehoods. And they can't see outside that. So they don't really think about nutrition as being an important factor in any of this. But again, to wrap up this section, I'm saying we should have smart people running this research, not obvious idiots. And we should have smart people reporting in the press, not fools who just reprint anything that's told to them. Here's the mistake that journalists make. They believe anything told to them by a so-called authority. And they don't question people enough anymore. I mean, you see this when journalists report about the White House. And they report President Bush's news or news about the war on Iraq, and they don't ask any questions anymore. You know, what happened to the Watergate era of good journalism, you know, some fact-finding? Today, almost all the news you read comes from press releases. Almost all of it has a corporate profit agenda behind it or a political agenda behind it. And journalists simply don't ask tough questions anymore. And the ones that do get fired. So I know there are good journalists out there, a few, but they get fired from their mainstream media jobs because they're not willing to go along with the flow. They're asking too many tough questions. Like, what do you mean? You know, what do you mean that women suffering from osteoporosis should take more antidepressant drugs? It makes no sense. If they put that in an article, they'd be fired the next day. And the way that would work is because one of the big advertisers, Big Pharma, would call up the editor or the publisher of that paper, and they would say, what are you doing? How could you print that? We have research that shows that taking antidepressant drugs might, in fact, help osteoporosis. We have solid research, and we have these researchers over here in this facility, and here's their names, and here's what they said, blah, blah, blah. And they would say it got published in a peer-reviewed medical journal. So there you go. Even more evidence, they would say. And the publisher of that paper would say, oh my God, we're so sorry. We didn't mean to print something false, like, oh, that maybe vitamin D might be involved in this. And they would fire that reporter. That's how it works all the time, every day, all across the world. And that's how the mainstream media becomes staffed with idiots. That's what's going on out there. It's kind of like, if you want to stay in that job and keep writing, you have to turn off your skepticism. You have to turn off your brain. You have to become a corporate propaganda machine. And if you can do that, you can keep your job. Now, that's what's going on with science today. And I picked this example because it's so outrageous. But it's a good example of what's going on across the board. I must review dozens of studies every week. And I see this time and time again. I look at the mainstream coverage of the research, and the mainstream media is just has no grasp on reality whatsoever. What they're reporting has nothing to do with what the research actually found. I mean, for example, like I mentioned earlier, the reasonable conclusion from this research might be that there's a strong correlation between taking antidepressant drugs and having osteoporosis. There's another example. Recently, the brains of children who had been diagnosed with ADHD were scanned. And these brain scans showed that the brains were behind schedule on their growth, right? 3 years behind schedule compared to normal kids. And the researchers concluded, and this was all over the press. I heard an interview about this on National Public Radio. The researchers concluded that ADHD, again, this fictitious disease, the ADHD causes abnormal development of children's brains. That was their conclusion. But guess what? All the children used in this study were being treated with amphetamine drugs. That's right, ADHD treatments, prescription drugs. And it turns out that those drugs stunt the growth of those children's bodies. And so the reasonable conclusion from this research would be that these drugs also stunt the development of their brains. So that research actually demonstrated a very strong correlation and perhaps a causation between the consumption of ADHD drugs by children and abnormally slow brain development. That's what it demonstrated. But the researchers once again reported that ADHD, the disease, causes slow brain development, even though ADHD is completely fictitious. So what an amazing leap of logic, once again. This is how they keep these scams going, you see. At first, there was no proof that ADHD existed at all. No brain scan could show anything different in ADHD kids. But then, of course, after they treat them with enough dangerous drugs, then they've got kids with slow brain development, and then they can scan those kids' brains and then go, aha, look, their brains are smaller. ADHD must slow their brain development. And in a commentary on that, I did point out that there might be one group suffering from slow brain development, and it's the researchers. It's not the kids. The researchers suffer from slow, behind-schedule brain development. But let's get back to depression and osteoporosis. Now, I want to give you some solutions, because I don't want to make this just one giant complaint about junk science and flawed logic and bad reporting and just the propaganda of conventional medicine. I want to give you some solutions. How do we fix the flat tire of your health? How do we do that? Well, it should be obvious from what we've talked about so far that vitamin D has a very important role to play in preventing both depression and osteoporosis. And it does, and you can get it for free. This is another thing that conventional medicine just hates to hear. You can get it for free. There's no prescription required. You don't need permission from your government or your doctor or the FDA to make your own vitamin D. And you cannot even overdose. It's impossible to overdose on vitamin D if you're getting it from sunlight. Your body will make exactly what it needs, and then it will stop making it at the right time, even if you're still out in the sun. So the way to make your own medicine is to just go out and get some sunlight touching your skin. It's that simple. And people say to me sometimes, whoa, what about the cancer risk? If I get sunlight on my skin, I'm going to get cancer. Oh my God, we should run from the sun. Run, it will kill us. Sunlight is the bringer of all life to this planet. Sunlight is what makes plant life possible. It's what makes animal life possible. It's what makes microbial life possible. And all of our ancestors lived under sunlight. Do you think that our ancestors put sunscreen on before they went out gathering roots and berries to feed themselves? No way. They were in the sun. And they developed skin perfectly attuned to their nutritional needs from sunlight based on where they were living on the planet. And that's why you have people who live closer to the equator, they have darker skin, to offer them more innate protection from sunlight. And people who lived in more northern latitudes, like in the UK, they have lighter skin because the skin mutated, evolved to be lighter so that it could absorb more sunlight, so that it could create more vitamin D because there was less sunlight radiation available at those latitudes on the planet. So your skin is a sunlight collector. It's supposed to get sunlight. And if you slap on sunscreen chemicals every time you walk outside, you are, in fact, creating disease in your body. You're actually giving yourself breast cancer or prostate cancer or osteoporosis or depression or diabetes or any of the other conditions caused by vitamin D deficiency. So if you believe that stuff, if you believe all those lies by the sunscreen industry and by dermatology, which is funded by the sunscreen industry, and if you believe all the BS printed in the mainstream media about sunlight, then that's your own fault. You should be more skeptical about it. You should realize that, you know what? The sun has been here for a long time, a lot longer than conventional medicine. The earth has been here. You know, even the birth of plants on this planet, which was what, 465 million years ago or so, land plants started to take over all the land on Earth. Before that, they were limited to the ocean. Well, plants use the sunlight. They developed a way to create this photosynthesis process to use sunlight as energy. They didn't put on little plant sunscreen and say, oh my God, the sun will kill us. They said, no, the sun is the source of life. The sun is what will protect us, what will actually give us energy. The sun is abundance. They understood that. I mean, not intellectually, but biologically, they were able to exploit that advantage and use that to just populate the planet. Now we have trees. Now we have plants everywhere. It's beautiful. And these plants, in fact, now give us medicine too. And then, much farther along in the timeline, we have Homo sapiens arriving on the scene. And Homo sapiens, of course, were living under the sun, right? They didn't live in caves with little fluorescent lights sitting in front of their computers surfing on the internet. No, they lived out in the sun. They had sunlight. And they needed it. That's where they got their nutrition, vitamin D in any case. And then they ate other foods. They ate berries. They ate roots. They ate grasses. They ate lots and lots of plants. They even ate bone marrow. They would go up to a carcass of a buffalo, where all the other animals had eaten all the food off of that buffalo, and they would come up to the carcass, no meat left on it, but guess what? Crack open those ribs, inside there, bone marrow. Bone marrow is rich in DHA, which is a crucial nutrient for brain function. And it's extremely important for pregnant women to have DHA as well, if they want their children to have fully developed brains. See, DHA is important, not Ritalin drugs. No. Our ancestors did not have Ritalin. They did not have SSRIs. They did not have this ridiculous excuse for medicine called Big Pharma and the FDA. They had nature, and they had sunlight. So we know sunlight's very important. And if you get more sunlight, you're going to be happier and healthier. And it's not going to give you cancer unless you overdo it and you are suffering from severe nutritional deficiencies. The only people that burn easily are those who don't have enough antioxidants in their diets. So boost your diet, get more antioxidants, eat more plants and superfoods and microalgae, and you will protect yourself from sunlight radiation, and then you can safely go out into the sun and get sensible exposure to the sun and generate your own vitamin D, which will then fix the flat tire. Then you're not going to have the breast cancer. You're not going to have the prostate cancer. You're not going to have the depression or the osteoporosis. There's another piece of research I'm reminded of where researchers were looking at ways to cure cancer in one person by taking elements out of the blood from another person. This is actually an FDA-approved research project going on right now. They're taking blood out of people who can beat cancer. In other words, they've identified a group of people who can halt the growth of cancer tumors. And they're taking elements out of their blood. They have a long scientific name, these specific elements. And they're injecting them into other people who can't seem to stop the growth of cancer tumors. And guess what? The recipients of those blood elements are suddenly able to stop the growth of their cancer tumors. Isn't that interesting? Well, researchers doing this project have found that some people in their blood, they have whatever it is that can stop cancer growth. Other people have no such capability. But guess what? No one has the capability during the winter. Isn't that curious? Could this ability to block the growth of cancer tumors be somehow possibly related to vitamin D? Could it be related to sunlight? Of course it is. Of course it is. The people who can't stop the growth of cancer tumors are the people who are vitamin D deficient. And that results in changes in their blood, which means they can't destroy cancer tumors. They can't cause cancer cell apoptosis or stop the angiogenesis of cancer tumors. They're unable to do any of that stuff because they don't have the right elements in their blood. But the people who can stop the growth of cancer tumors, the people who don't have cancer, guess what? Their blood is full of vitamin D and other elements that are probably products of vitamin D, like biological side effects of having enough vitamin D. And those people can stop cancer growth very easily, just simply like that. No more cancer growth. Yeah, but these researchers, they missed that whole point. They have no clue. They're scratching their heads. They're saying, yeah, gee, these people cannot stop the growth of cancer tumors during the winter. No one can during the winter, but some people can during the spring and summer. I wonder why. And they haven't figured it out yet. Why? Because they're idiots. That's why. They don't understand that everything happens in cycles. The seasons, the days. I mean, the sun moves, apparently, from our point of view, the sun moves around our planet every day. And yet the Earth moves around the sun every year. And there are cycles. And guess what? Our solar system is in a cycle too, a multi-thousand-year cycle in our universe. And these cycles are not understood by conventional medicine. I mean, doctors don't even think the moon has any effect on human health. They don't realize why is the moon cycle and the menstruation cycle of women almost exactly the same length of days, 28.5 days. Almost exactly the same. Why is plant growth greatly affected by the moon? I mean, the moon affects the tides. It affects many things. Why is lunacy, the word for going crazy, based on the Latin root for the word for the moon, which is luna? Because the full moon actually does make people crazy. It alters brain function. There's a fascinating history of that. Look up moonbeam light or moonlight and mental health, and you'll find a very interesting history of this correlation between moonlight and mental health that the entire medical industry today completely dismisses outright without even bothering to look at the evidence. Why do they dismiss it? Because they don't understand it. They don't have an explanation for it. So they just say it can't possibly be true, period. And that's what you find in modern medicine. They don't understand vitamin D. They don't understand sunlight. They don't understand nature. They don't even understand the way plants offer medicine to the human body. So they just dismiss it all. What do they understand? Their own chemicals. They understand a scalpel. They understand radiation. They understand poisoning the body with chemotherapy. Those are the things they understand because that's what they're taught. They are experts in naming diseases. They are not experts in establishing health. They've never been taught health. In fact, most of them aren't even healthy. That's kind of a clue right there that they're kind of missing out on this whole big picture. It's like, shouldn't you get your information about health from people who exhibit health, right? You wouldn't take your broken car to a mechanic who couldn't get his own car to start. You wouldn't take swimming lessons from a person who almost drowned and had to be saved, someone who couldn't swim. Why do you get your health information? I mean, you rhetorically. Why does someone get their health information from people who are unhealthy? Important question. Now, I promised to get back to solutions for osteoporosis and depression, so let's continue with that. All right, we talked about sunlight. Obviously, you need sunlight and you need vitamin D if you don't want to exhibit these diseases. But what else do you need? Sunlight's not enough. You also need exercise. Oh my God, did I just say the dreaded E word? No. People just go crazy every time I mention exercise. They're like, no, I can't stand a sweat. No, it's going to take effort. I can't do that. What do you mean? I have to go to the gym and run around in circles and stretch? And they just whine like crybabies all the time. I can't figure it out. Yeah, you're going to have to move your ass, move that body, if you want to get some beneficial effects from it. There's no way around it. And besides, if you do it right, you can learn to enjoy it. It actually becomes very, very rewarding. Now, exercise is important for improving brain chemistry, we could say, on one hand, which can reverse depression. It's also important for bone mineral density, and let's cover both of those. It's great for reversing depression because exercise, from a Western point of view, generates all kinds of happy brain chemicals. In fact, you feel better after exercise than probably after taking a happy pill, an antidepressant for sure. I know that it's going to be much better than happy pills because I have talked to many people who were on antidepressants, and they've told me that after taking up exercise habits, that the exercise made them feel better than the happy pills. Of course, it takes some effort. You can't just pop an exercise pill and have all the benefits from exercise. You actually have to go do it. It might take 30 minutes a day or an hour a day. When I go exercise, I spend about 2.5 hours, and I enjoy it. And I listen to audiobooks on my headset while I do it, so I'm learning while I'm exercising. And guess what? When you exercise while you learn, your body starts to catalog that information more accurately. You actually learn better when you're moving your body at the same time. And in fact, sometimes I learn languages. Right now I'm studying Spanish, and I can tell you exactly where I was and what I was doing at the moment that I learned a particular word in Spanish, because the body remembers the physical location and the action at the time that it's exposed to new information. So it's a really interesting phenomenon that you should check out. Learn with movement and you will learn much more quickly. And then you'll know more than these medical researchers who still haven't learned basic logic 101. It's not that hard to master. Exercise also has the benefit of causing your bones to be higher density. How does that work? All right, let's talk about this. At the moment that you exercise, you are, in fact, stressing your bones, right? every time you jump on a trampoline, which I highly recommend, by the way, as one of the best exercises you can possibly pursue. Even a mini trampoline that you put in your living room, just bounce around on that thing for a few minutes a day, you'll have tremendous benefits from it. When you do that, or when you're just walking or weightlifting or anything, you're stressing your bones. And your bones are what's called piezoelectric devices, which means that when you stress them, they produce an electric charge. It's true. I know it sounds odd. Like, what? I have electronics in my body? No, not exactly. But your bones do have an electric charge when they're stressed. So if you take a bone and you just push on it, on the two ends, let's say, and let's take your femur out of your leg and you put it in a lab and you start compressing that femur with, some kind of very strong hydraulic pump, you're going to get an electric charge coming off that femur. Well, this charge causes your body to deposit alkaline minerals that have the opposite attracting charge. Those minerals include calcium and magnesium and a couple of other trace elements that are deposited and then worked into the lattice of your bone, and that boosts your bone density. Now, this doesn't happen overnight. It actually happens, this takes quite a bit of time. So if you go out and exercise today and you stress your bones today, then your body will adapt to that stress over the following several weeks and months, and it will build increased bone mineral density over that time. And it's doing that while you sleep. And this is why it's very, very important, by the way, to get good sleep. Now, this process, this is called the body's adaptive response. This process requires sleep, it requires great nutrition, it requires lots of water and hydration, and it requires that you don't mess with it. You don't block it. And you might say, well, why would I want to block that? Well, of course you don't want to, but you might be doing something that is blocking it. Guess what blocks it? Diabetes drugs. Yeah, if you're taking drugs for diabetes, one of the main side effects is osteoporosis. Because those drugs block this process of the body healing itself and rebuilding strong bones. And in fact, you're going to find that with every prescription drug out there on the market, there's an unintended side effect, at least one, usually more than one. Statin drugs, for example, cause your body to be unable to produce coenzyme Q10, which is crucial for cellular energy. And that's why statin drug recipients so often feel fatigued. So they go in, and they go in for high cholesterol. The doctor gives them statin drugs, and they start taking those, and then they feel fatigued, so they stop exercising. And then what happens after they stop exercising? Their bone mineral density fades away. Then they get diagnosed with osteoporosis. Then they get put on osteoporosis drugs. And those mess with the liver, just like all the other drugs mess with the liver. And pretty soon that patient's feeling depressed. So they go in and get on depression drugs. And the depression drugs have all these other negative side effects. And it just becomes a domino effect, one after the other. And this is what you might call as ignorant health consumers. This is what they do. They go in to the doctor and they say, fix me with one symptom after another. And they keep taking more and more drugs and they end up on this train wreck of pharmaceutical dependence that just ultimately kills them. Really, ultimately, it destroys the liver, destroys the pancreas, brain function, the heart, the kidneys, and eventually they just die. And the cause of death is never listed as pharmaceuticals. It's listed as whatever was the immediate failure, you know, liver failure. So the cause of death is liver disease. Or if they get a heart attack, the cause of death is heart attack. Well, what caused the heart attack? It could have been all those pharmaceuticals. It could have been those painkilling drugs. It could have been Vioxx, which we know doubles the risk of heart attacks. Could have been all those things. So this is how patients allow themselves to get trapped in this system of medicine. And it's crazy. It's really idiotic that people do this. But alas, you know, some people just don't know. So we're trying to help them learn, trying to educate those people so that they don't get trapped in that system of medicine. Because if you want to reverse osteoporosis and depression, I've already given you the two main solutions. Those are sunlight and vitamin D. That's one solution. And the second one is exercise. If you will do those two things and avoid the dangerous drugs that interfere with the building of bone mineral density, then without question, you will improve your bone mineral density and you can probably reverse osteoporosis. Now, there are some other things you can do too, but those are the biggest two that we already mentioned. Third thing I'll mention is stop drinking soft drinks. Why? Because they contain phosphoric acid. Phosphoric acid is a very strong acid. And when you drink it, it has the effect of essentially dissolving away your skeletal system. Now, it doesn't work directly like that. It's really more of a process of your body attempting to balance the pH of your blood and using the alkaline minerals from your skeletal system as a buffer to the acid that you've consumed, and then eliminating both of those through your urine. And so essentially you're peeing away your bones when you drink soda. Phosphoric acid is a very strong acid. I'm fond of saying this is what they use in the military to clean rust off of battleships, and it's absolutely true. You can go to Home Depot or one of these hardware stores and you can buy a phosphoric acid cleaner. And it's used also by stonemasons to etch stone. This stuff eats rock, okay? It's definitely going to eat your bones. No question about it. Another thing, and you're going to hate me for hearing this, and I know I've said this to many, many women, and they're not happy about this particular dietary change. Stop drinking caffeine. Oh, no, I got to give up my coffee? Are you serious? That's what people say to me. Well, all right. You don't have to, but just listen to the consequences. Caffeine is also acidic, and most people put sugar in their coffee. And sugar is acidic, and this also accelerates the loss of bone mass. So you look at the average consumer today, let's say a 45-year-old female, because women were used in this study, and she is, number one, not getting enough sunlight. She's not getting enough exercise. So she's vitamin D deficient, and she's exercise deficient. She's drinking a lot of coffee, soda, and sugar. Those are four or five crucial factors right there that are accelerating her bone loss. And that's not even to mention the hormonal changes that are taking place that could also be a factor here. So she could have up to six different factors that are accelerating her bone loss. And then she goes into the doctor, and the doctor says, oh, don't worry, it's not your fault. It's genetic. There's nothing you could have done. BS, there's plenty you could have done. And there's plenty you can still do right now to reverse it, because osteoporosis is reversible. That's the main message I want you to get from this. You can reverse it. You can build new bone mineral density, even if you're 60, 70 years old. Doesn't matter. You can rebuild it. Your body knows how to do it automatically. If you stop harming your bones, if you stop drinking acidic foods and beverages, if you get exercise and you start getting your vitamin D levels up, you will rebuild bone mineral density. It is a matter of fact, cause and effect of human biology. In other words, actually, you can't even not build more bone mineral density. You can't turn it off. It's going to happen automatically in your sleep, whether you want it to happen or not, if you do these things. Now, how do you know this to be true? How do you know? How do you know it's true? Maybe you should just believe all the doctors. Go test their bone mineral density and find out the answer real quick. I had my bone mineral density tested a couple of years ago at a compounding pharmacy. They put your ankle in a machine, and it's kind of an ultrasound machine, and it measures the density of your, I don't know exactly which bone they're testing, one of the bones in your foot or ankle, and they have all this correlation between that bone and the rest of the bones in your body, so they can give you a pretty good measurement of your overall bone mineral density based on just measuring that one point. And I went in and had this done, and the person doing the test was really amazed, and he said, oh, gee, you have incredibly dense bones. What are you doing? How'd you get that? And he said something like, you have the bones of a 25-year-old gymnast or something. And, of course, I do a lot of gymnastics. You know, I do capoeira. I do handstands, and I'm pretty physically active. So that's a lot of the explanation right there. Not hard to figure this out. But the other thing is I get lots of vitamin D and lots of sunlight because I don't use sunscreen. Now, I would compare my bone mineral density with that of a typical MD any day. Any day. I doubt you're going to find a doctor with higher bone mineral density. I mean, maybe you might. There is some genetic variability in it, but it's small. So I've got real high bone mineral density, and I've helped people restore their bone mineral density just by sharing this information with them. Have you ever met a doctor who actually reversed osteoporosis in a patient? Never happened. And you know why? Because they don't prescribe vitamin D. They don't prescribe exercise, except maybe the good doctors do, the minority do. They prescribe drugs. Even the best osteoporosis drugs on the market, all they do is slow the loss of bone mineral density. But that is what most doctors are prescribing. They don't even think there is a cure for this so-called disease. By the way, osteoporosis is not even a disease. It's just a name given to an observable symptom. There's nothing that's infected you. There's nothing wrong with you. You just kind of let your bones go and you can get them back. It's kind of like just being out of shape. Being out of shape is not a disease. Having low bone mineral density is not a disease. Just an observation. You can reverse that. But I'm telling you can't reverse it by listening to conventional medical doctors. When it comes to nutrition, they are illiterate. They're completely ignorant of the nutritional underlying causes of disease. So going to them to try to find a solution to a disease is just a complete waste of time. They just don't have the answers for you. Now, doctors are great for acute medical conditions. If you're having a heart attack right now, go to the emergency room. A doctor might save your life. And I admire them for that knowledge and for the ability to do what they do in the emergency room. I've had doctors that have worked on me from sports injuries, and they've done a great job, and I admire those people. And I think, gosh, there's one doc that worked on me, the guy's a genius. I mean, he did surgery on my shoulder, and I recovered from that, and I did my physical rehab, and now I have 100% mobility in that shoulder because of the great job that surgeon did. And I will say that to everyone, that doctors and surgeons do have an important role to play in society today. And I don't think they're all idiots. I just think they're nutritionally illiterate. They have one set of knowledge, and they're completely clueless outside of that set. So it's important for you as a consumer to understand when you want to go to a doctor versus when you should go see a naturopath or a nutritionist or someone else. If you have an acute medical condition, yeah, go see a doctor. But if you want to prevent disease for your life, you want to prevent cancer, prevent depression, prevent osteoporosis, prevent heart disease, diabetes, obesity, that's your job. It's your job to take action. You got to change your diet. You got to start exercising. You got to start taking superfoods into your body. Get some nutritional supplements going. Get some herbal support. Drink raw, fresh juices from vegetables and fruits on a daily basis. Eat raw nuts. You know, that's your job. Doctor can't do that for you. The only way you're going to maintain that kind of health for those so-called chronic degenerative conditions, to avoid them, is to take responsibility for your own health right now. Make those dietary and lifestyle changes that you need. And then you probably won't need to see a doctor nearly as much as you had in the past. I haven't seen a doctor in years. I don't even have health insurance. Don't need it. Why would I need it? Health is not a surprise to me. It's cause and effect. I know that what I'm putting in my body is going to promote health, not disease. So I don't even have to go in and get a test for prostate cancer or anything. I know I don't have it. Why? Because I'm eating the foods every day and I'm getting sunlight almost every day. And I'm doing all the things that stop the growth of cancer tumors. I'm one of those people that has the blood that stops cancer. I know it as a fact. I'd be happy to verify it. If someone wanted to challenge that, it'd be easy to verify. So there's no question in my mind. I don't have to go in and get some kind of diagnostic test, a PSA test for prostate cancer. And if I were a woman, I wouldn't have to go in and get mammograms all the time. I mean, those things cause radiation. I mean, they emit radiation, so they actually promote breast cancer anyway. The very procedure that detects cancer causes cancer. So if you go in and you get enough mammograms, enough times, guess what? Eventually, they're going to find some cancer because that's what caused it. So So you see, it's a totally different mindset from someone who lives natural health versus someone who's just a victim of conventional medicine. Now, I know that if you're listening to this, you probably agree with most of what I've said here. Hopefully, you don't agree with everything, because you're a skeptical consumer. You're a smart person. You get it. You are interested in finding out solutions for yourself, and you are willing to step up to the plate and take those steps for yourself. And I know that because only those kinds of people will have listened this long. So welcome. I admire you. I'm really glad to be able to make this connection with you, because the world needs more people like you. All I ask is that you please continue to use that skepticism even when you're listening to mainstream media sources. Even when, you know, you're talking to your doctor, keep that skepticism in mind. Realize the limitations of their knowledge and their expertise. And realize that if you're going to be healthy, you've got to take control of your own health from here forward. You've got to be the one responsible. You have to have the courage and the willingness and the motivation to step up and do what's right for your own personal health. And that means making those dietary changes. That means engaging in that regular physical exercise as frequently as you can, as long as you stay safe with it. And I admire you for having this approach to your own health. And I'm part of the same group too. I'm one of those people like you who is always curious about the way the world works. And I'm always looking for better answers, better solutions. I've found some of them, and those are things that I share, and I'm still looking on many others. And by the way, I do so humbly under Mother Nature. I realize that nature is the ultimate wisdom here. Nature has provided us the solutions. Nature has taught me almost everything that I know. Yeah, I've learned from books and so on, but where did those people get their knowledge? They got it from nature eventually. And the plants teach us a lot. Even our own bodies can teach us a lot. We have to remain open to new solutions, new ideas that might be suddenly appearing in our consciousness. Because I think right now, medical experts don't know much. We know very little about the way the world really works and the nature of the universe and just the nature of human health. So we have a lot more to learn, and we have to remain humble and skeptical and clear-headed so that we can learn, we can recognize new correlations, new causations, new facts that appear to us. We have to remain open to those things, and I think that's what you're doing right now. So thanks for doing that, and thank yourself for doing it. You know, by following this path, you will achieve the greatest human health that you've ever experienced. No question about it. All you got to do is keep doing what you're doing and apply this knowledge. So from this particular piece, I hope you're more motivated now to go out and get more sunlight and to engage in more exercise, get more vitamin D, improve your diet, and keep preventing those chronic degenerative conditions. And I also hope you're more motivated to think really skeptically about the mainstream news reports that you read out there. Because those news reports, yeah, those are things you got to be careful about. Those are things that, yeah, the reporting might not be very well thought out, let's say. Those reporters may not have a clue what they're doing. So you got to be very skeptical about those things. And, you know, make sure that you're doing your own homework when you read those news reports. Now, just to wrap this up, let me mention that none of the information in here is supposed to be taken as medical advice or a medical diagnosis, so please always work with a qualified health practitioner before changing your diet or undertaking an exercise program or anything like that. I prefer that you work with a naturopath. And secondly, keep in mind that this program is available on audio CD in a hi-fi format, along with all the other Health Ranger reports that I've recorded. And you can find those at truthpublishing.com. They're available in a 6-CD set at a very reasonable price. So if you're interested in listening to these in your car or hearing some of the other programs, then go ahead and check them out on truthpublishing.com. And I hope you find them a little bit entertaining at the same time that they're educational. You know, that's my goal. I try to present this information in a way that really makes sense to people and is fun to listen to. Because I think this topic can be really fun. It doesn't have to be dry academic information all the time. We can have fun with this. We can do a little name calling sometimes. You know, we can throw some strange words out there and just, you know, think about that and then decide for ourselves what we want to take from it. And if you take anything from this at all, then it's been worth the experience. So thanks for listening. I really appreciate it. And I'm glad to know that you're doing the best thing that you can do right now for your own health. And that's to educate yourself. Be a skeptical consumer. Yeah, learn how to tell the difference between what's true and what's not true in the mainstream media's reporting on medical news. Thanks for listening. This is Mike Adams, the Health Ranger, for NewsTarget.com.